And we're go.
Again. Welcome to the podcast where we ruin Breaking Bad.
Oh, please don't ruin it. If we ruin it, then there will be tears and blood.
That's the point.
Why would you do that? I mean, why would you spoil something?
Because it's fun to see you cry.
Oh, it's not. I wouldn't really cry. I would just.
You would cry.
Curl up in a ball.
I cry.
Of self-loathing.
And
cry.
Do you want to do that every?
And then turn into Travis Bickle.
Did you see Travis?
Good one, Chris.
Did you see Travis Pickle?
Travis Bickle, not Travis Pickle.
He sounds like a kind of like CBeebies version of Taxi Driver.
Yeah, that would be fantastic. Could you imagine that?
Yeah.
That would be awesome. Okay.
Is that Larry David?
It is. Yeah, I was just looking for the news of the week, and he's got a leading role in a new comedy directed by Greg Mottola. Is it Greg Mottola?
Yep.
His name. It's also written by. Hold on, I'll get there. Written.
You know the.
It's Cub writers. Cub.
Do you know? Did your research before you start this?
I did, but I can't channel a whole news.
Cub doesn't really have writers.
You're
though.
So unprofessional, Chris.
Well, maybe not writers as such, but it says Cub veterans. Seinfeld.
Then again, the American remake of Only Fools and Horses is written by Scrubs writers, and by that they mean the Series 9 writers who deserve to be crucified.
I can't believe they're doing Only Fools and Horses.
I hope enough people kind of like set them death threats enough to.
The thing is,
call
like,
it off.
I just don't get it. I don't know why the American shows remake British shows that fundamentally are.
Very British.
Very British. Like, I don't know whether it's just a name that they'll hope to.
Yeah, pretty much. It's a
brand. It's clearly just to get viewers in. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, one of those horses, we'll watch that. Fucking be a little bit more original, you know what I mean? If you want to do something, mm-hmm. they can do it.
Yeah. I mean, like, there are some things that can seem very British, and then, like, they translate well. Like,
yeah.
I know, like, Steptoe's Son was very British,
well,
and then, like.
I did well, didn't I, in America?
Yeah, Sanford and Son. That translated well, like The Office did better, but I think that's the thing of like remaking British shows. They want to kind of like keep it
mm-hmm.
in with the Britishness, mm-hmm. but they always get a lot better when they say like that. So just let's use this name and go off.
Yeah, I think
that
a lot
thing.
Of that time, they just use the name. I mean, the American Office is very different.
Yeah,
but it's still
the same. I did really like the like. Little things that it brought back, like it, the finale of like season 3, when it's like Jim, Michael, and that like they're going off to get the job, and like Jim gets a kind of good luck card from Pam, and it was just a kind of like, or was it a good luck card? Whatever. But it's a kind of flip of the end of the British Office.
Yeah.
And it's like that. I mean, that was done really well, and it's one of my favourite episodes of anything ever.
Mm-hmm. The British,
especially the end when the. I can't even remember fucking names. The intern gets a job.
Ryan.
Mm-hmm. Ryan. Yeah, I wanted to.
Are you at this in the American Office?
Yeah, mm-hmm. I wanted to say Toby, but that's
no.
One.
See, Ryan played by BJ Novak. BJ Novak is great, and he's
he's one of the writers.
Yeah, he's one of the writers and producers, but he's on the front of the credits, but he's not in it a hell of a lot. You know what I mean? It just always seems to be. I'm thinking, why? I'm not got a problem with it, but it just kind of throws you off because you think he's going to be a lot much larger part of the show.
Then I can't even remember. Was he not like in? Did he come in as an intern?
He was
in the
he was in it more in the first.
Yeah, because I mean, like there's
couple of seasons.
Because there's
been quite a lot now.
Mm-hmm. I mean,
yeah,
but like I mean,
true,
like was the first episode not him coming in as an intern or something like
it
that?
He was coming in as an intern, yeah.
Because I mean, like a lot of shows do that, like. Like they'll have something because obviously, like I mean, again, I've not seen the British Office.
No,
you're
not? No. It's really good for you to watch it.
But it's. Like, yeah, I've not seen it, but I fucking know everything that happens. I suck.
Yeah.
But, like, because the American Office doesn't have the same kind of strictly kind of mockumentary things, and it is just that style,
mm-hmm.
like, they have to have something that does instigate the plot. It can't just be they jump into a random point.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And usually that is, like, someone new coming into the workplace, so that's where the kind of emphasis on him would have kind of appeared.
Yeah,
like, have you seen it was a really terrible film with Ryan Reynolds, Waiting? It was in a it was a film. It was in like a restaurant somewhere.
Is that not Just Friends? Is that not what it's called?
Sorry,
is that not Just Friends?
No, that's something else.
That's another.
But no, it's essentially Ryan Reynolds is the main guy.
Is that a restaurant though?
Yeah,
are they both in a restaurant?
I don't don't fucking know. I've not seen Just Friends.
I remember watching one, and it was in a restaurant.
Well,
it was like,
probably waiting because it was like Ryan Reynolds, Louis Guzman. There's a whole cast, but like the whole film was based around this kind of new guy coming in, and like he didn't really feature much in the film. He was a very supportive, like kind of one of the lesser supporting characters, but the film was based around him kind of like coming to the restaurant and kind of learning the ropes. Yeah. And that's I mean, that's how they kind of like create that. So that's
that
probably why.
Shit.
Yeah.
Talking of, like, just, I don't know if you've seen the Fox lineup for the fall. There's three new shows, three hospital set backgrounds, in the same network. There's the Mindy Project with Mindy Kaling. There's Mob Doctor. And there's another one I can't actually remember.
Well, how's the ending? So they've got to have something to remember.
But it's just like three, and I they're not set in a hospital necessarily, but they.
Have you noticed something else I've really found quite interesting about all these sitcoms? They all feature humans. I mean, like, come on, that's really.
That's really lackluster laugh.
that's really samey. Yeah. No, I mean, like, these things are kind of more based on kind of like demographics. So what do people like? They like House. That's ending. Yeah. Scrubs ended. ER's finished. Grey's Anatomy is that still going? I don't know. That's going down the toilet anyway. Let's do more hospital shit though.
But the healing one is going to be a comedy though.
Yeah,
that's going to send that apart.
Well, that's like replace Scrubs.
The Mob Doctor actually looks quite, you know, kind of interesting.
Tell me, that's a Joe Pesci in it.
It's not, it's not. Unfortunately, I don't have an internet connection here, by the way, just in case.
Yeah, you've got it up.
Yeah. The Mob Doctor looks great. One of the most interesting ones, I think, might be good, is the Kevin Bacon one.
Oh, right.
The following, it looks quite good.
Mm-hmm. Although, like, there's...
And Revolution, of course, the J.J. Abrams, mm-hmm. Kirk K. Favreau one. Martin's doing hand gestures.
Yeah,
so damn it, we did the thing again. Where we mentioned somebody did the visual thing.
There's a trailer online now.
Good.
J.J. Abrams produced, and I think you co-wrote the pilot.
Yeah.
Well,
co-created really, isn't it? Like,
no.
They're not co-created with Kripke?
Nope. Was he just producing?
He's producing, and I think he co-wrote the pilot.
To be honest, I will not instantly just watch something because J.J. Abrams produced it. I watched the first episode of Alcatraz, and it was terrible. It was really, really terrible. And I was like, no.
He didn't have anything to do with writing it, though.
Yeah, but he was like, it's produced by J.J. Abrams. It's a J.J. Abrams show, and then it's pish.
Yeah, it's a J.J. Abrams show. No, it's really not. It's a Bad Robot show. He's just the name of Bad Robot. I'm fairly certain he co-wrote the pilot, but it was created by Eric Kripke, who created Supernatural.
Okay, I don't watch Supernatural either, so.
And it was up until he left the show in the end of season 5 that it was good.
Yeah. What, really? Oh, you mean after he left?
He left, yeah. And then
it started to get bad.
Sarah Gamble took over as showrunner and just raped it of everything that
well, it's now,
about it.
It's now getting Jeremy Carver.
Yes.
He's come out the show and he's been doing, yeah.
And he was on, he's been on Supernatural for a while.
Yeah.
And everyone is incredibly glad about that.
Yeah. Everyone
is praising the gods that Sarah Gamble is fucking off. Yeah. She's
fat. I was like, talking to someone about Supernatural and they said it was up to series 5 and it was good. And like, I said, like, at that point, where is it, like series what, 8 now or something?
Yeah, well, it's 7's ending or season 8.
Right, well, yeah, I mean, like, it's that's too much for me to think about. Like, I mean, I said I'm rewatching Breaking Bad. At this point in time, I'd rather rewatch things than like jump into something
well,
new.
I think I'm gonna finish catch up with Breaking Bad over the next week or so, and then get on to Battle. I don't know where they got the Battle
Buffy.
Star. Oh, Buffy. Sorry, Buffy. I've got Battlestar Galactica box set in the house, but I've also got Buffy.
How many seasons of Buffy is
five?
Seven.
Seven seasons
of Buffy. Six. Five seasons of
Angel. And yeah,
Los Angeles. So I'd probably watch Firefly before Buffy because it's like a lot shorter.
But I mean, you're saying I was talking to David, and you're saying that the Revolution. I mean, Revolution does look good, but it could go. You said it could.
Here's the thing, like,
depends the involvement.
J.J. Abrams is. He's co-writing the pilot, I'm pretty sure. He's producing it, but how much he really gets involved in anything beyond that, especially with Star Trek coming up, he's doing all that stuff. Kripke's going to be there, I'd imagine, because he created the show, so I'm guessing he's going to be the showrunner.
So is Favreau.
Favreau is directing the pilot. That's all I know of his involvement.
Did you read the interview I said? Yeah. He said he's going back into the writer's room and stuff, the big stories. Abrams is breaking the stories. Abrams, Kripke and Favreau are breaking the stories for the season.
Right.
Is what Favreau said in the interview. So,
I mean, you get so many of these shows that kind of latch on to. Like, as Abrams does with like Alcatraz, have him as producer. That's kind of a big name to it, and then after it is just with the writers. Because I know, like, I started watching Reaper because it was like first episode directed by Kevin Smith, and I was like, oh, okay, and watched it. And then that was his only involvement, apart from I think being like executive producer or something. That was his only involvement with it, but it had the benefit of then actually being quite good.
Yeah,
and then it cancelled.
was it good?
It was good. First season was a bit kind of meh, and then. Like not main quality, it was like fun, but it was a bit unfocused. Second season kind of kicked off. It was a lot kind of better, and then it got to the end. Like, did you see the end of Heroes when it was like they had the end?
I missed the last episode of Heroes. Yeah. It didn't. Regarding the fucking Antiques Roadshow or something over it. I'm thinking, what the hell is that?
What do you mean taping over?
I recorded it on the Virgin, the V+, TiVo. TiVo, it's like TiVo.
Yeah, how can you record over them? What?
No, but what I mean is, like, it said Heroes on the schedule, but it was, like, fucking Antiques Roadshow or something.
Oh, right, so
you know what I mean? It didn't record Heroes.
So it wasn't like Virgin Media Service is, like, a really kind of... yeah. It's just, like, recorded on tape.
Yeah, show? Like, no, you don't.
No, but, like, both Heroes and Reaper, their seasons ended with... It wasn't so much a cliffhanger as a kind of, this is only the beginning.
Yeah,
that's everyone's kind of endings. Like, I may as well just like Heroes ends with like because like it's turned around.
He went into Cylar. Yeah, Peter. Peter. He went into Cylar's mind.
Right? Yeah, it was like they were like stuck together for like 40 years or some shit. And like it was.
And then in one
of their minds. And then he came out, Silas kind of properly reformed.
Mm-hmm.
And as he properly reformed, he's done it so many times.
Yeah.
But like at the end, what happens is it's like the kind of the big bad's defeated, and like there's lots of press there, and they're being told that like, you have to be kind of like subtle. Claire really tied with a jump to the top of the Ferris wheel, jumps off, and that's a nice callback to like the first episode.
Yeah.
She jumps off, and like with all the things, and so I think Silas actually says, it's a new beginning or some shit like that. And then it ends and you're like, well, fuck, that's it over.
Why?
And like, the one thing like I really liked about the end of Reaper was that there was so much about like hell and like demons and that. And then at the end, there is divine intervention from an angel and it's like, you're being watched over, don't worry about anything. And then it ends and it's like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
My only real problem with Heroes in the last season was it felt very repetitive.
That's your only problem with Heroes?
Yeah.
I mean, the main problem
with Heroes is that it needed writers.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
The first season of Heroes is really good.
Yeah.
Mm. First season of Heroes is a quality season of TV. And then the second season was boning up to be really good, and then the writer strike happened.
Yes. So I mean, like...
The writer strike happened,
and then for some reason they thought... Well, we need to change the ending because people won't wait for this, for what's coming, what we have planned. And then, like, you find out what they had planned, and they're like, yeah, we fucking would have.
Yeah.
That sounded good. What you did wasn't.
Yeah. And then, like, series three was, but, like, I can't remember, was it the first half of series three that had Nathan hunting everyone down? Was that second?
That might be season three, I think.
That
was weird as well when they split seasons by volume.
Yeah.
That did my fucking boxing.
I think Heroes is kind of the archetypal really unfocused in what they wanted to do. Like they didn't have any arc, they just wanted to kind of keep all these people around. They could never get past Siler. If they had kind of had Siler going away for like a couple of seasons and coming back, it would maybe have been there quite good, but they said no. Siler's really good. He was like the best.
Yeah,
we can't.
He was the only one
that
could act.
It did.
If they did that thing where like the fucking Petrellis flew off at the end of series one and actually died, and then like series two, it was they tried bringing a few new people and it was pish.
Yeah.
Apart from Adam Monroe.
Yes.
Like he was Kensey, and then it like turned out
David Anders.
thought Stephen Strange is a character.
Yeah. But like,
I know the name.
I mean, like, and then like, I think they suffer from the general problem of like, they kind of built up these characters really well, especially like the kind of villains, because they always had to bring in a new big bad,
mm-hmm.
and then they just sucked, because like at the end of series one it had the genuinely menacing thing about the kind of dream person, which turned out to be whose dad? One of their, like, Greg Grunberg's dad.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, he's actually just his dad, he's a bit of a deadbeat,
mm-hmm.
and he's very easily defeated. Then there's Adam Monroe, who's just like taken and shoved in a coffin.
Mm-hmm.
Then there's
Dug up again.
Yeah, dug up again. And then thinking, yes, he's back. He's brilliant. Yeah. No, he's been killed by the next big
bad. Now have two actors.
Yeah.
Him and Zachary Quinto.
Yeah. And so then they get like Arthur Petrelli.
Yeah.
And it's like,
he just takes his power and.
It's pretty much that. It's like, he's genuinely quite good because I love Robert Forster.
Yeah.
And it's like. Oh, yeah, he's dispatched really quickly when they actually get down to it.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's like, then... That's what it's... The first part of Series 3 was him as the big bad. Then the second part of Series 3 was Nathan kind of rounding them up. Instigating that rounding up. And then by the end of it, he kind of comes to senses. Then I think Series 3 ends really good in that they actually fucking kill Nathan.
They actually did. Nathan. I was a bit pissed at that.
Yeah.
I think it was good. It was good storytelling.
I was annoyed the first time Nathan died, and then by the time he actually died, fucking 15 times later.
Then again, it's the kind of thing like Rory and Doctor Who. The time when
Rory's never died. Rory's died once.
Yeah,
okay.
When they actually kill him off.
I love how he said Rory's never died. He died once.
Yeah. It's if they get around to actually killing him off, there'll be the kind of like next 10 minutes of the episode. Will be ruined because people are just sitting there like, okay, wait, come on, like, come back, Rory, come back, and then at the end of that 10 minutes, I'm like, he's actually dead. No.
See,
but it's like, yeah, I mean, like, with Heroes, it was
that,
like, oh yeah, he's got, no, wait, shit, he's actually dead. Oh my god! And then like they kind of like wipes up. If they'd done that and it was again like, if they'd done that and swapped in like it was like Siler as Nathan,
mm-hmm.
and they kept that going, and it was only in the next season when mm-hmm. they kind of like started having bits of flashbacks, quite good.
Yeah.
But I think the problem was they were so like desperate to kind of get things moving, so oh, he's got to go back mm-hmm. to that, he's got to go back to that.
Heroes,
got to have Siler.
They're like, they got to the point in Heroes where oh no, he's dead. No, he's back.
Yeah, really
revelation became like from the cliffhanger of an episode revealed episodes later to a fucking act break. Oh no, he's dead. Adverts. He's back. No, he's alive.
Yeah.
They really went for the whole nobody dies in science fiction thing. And they just like, okay, we know that, but stop using that. Well, no, else about me. Episode was to be continued. After every single episode, I'm thinking, so there's a to be continued thing not even matter anymore. It's like, you know.
I mean, that is. The fault of Lost. Because, like, I think, was there any show before Lost that did the whole kind of dramatic statement, cut to black?
I love it. I prefer that.
Yeah, see, look, because it's in a way, it's the fault of Lost because they tried to do that and failed because the writers weren't as good.
Yeah.
And Lost? But,
no, Heroes tried to do that. Heroes tried to be really serialised like Lost was,
but they just
weren't as good as it.
But I think then Series 4 of Heroes I quite liked. It was obviously a lot better than Series 3.
Like,
it was a lot more focused because they had one villain. They had quite a lot of good build-up,
mm-hmm.
but then it was like, I said it ended that way. And again, what it was... Like, when they actually put their fucking mind to it, the bad guy was really easily defeated. It was mm-hmm. like, as soon as they found out, oh, he gets his power by gathering kind of heroes to him, let's just fucking get people to come and take the fucking heroes away,
mm-hmm.
and then he's done. Oh, and that's what they do in like 3 seconds, and it's like, okay, that's that, and then it ends. So it's like, they're all about build up, but the climaxes
like,
are really unsatisfying. Mm-hmm.
If they went with the original plan for the end of season 2, despite the writer's strike, I think even better. There's going to be like a whole, like, when Peter stops the virus from breaking, that was when, you know, Monroe drops the vial.
I can't remember.
The vial of the whole disease thing, and then Hero takes him away, but Peter stops it from smashing. That wasn't going to happen. It was going to smash, and the virus was going to get out. And then it was going to have to be them dealing with all of that.
I think that was another.
But like for some reason they thought, well, people won't wait.
until the next season for this. People probably would have.
Yeah.
I think Heroes is one of those that would benefit of having a definitive end point. I think
Heroes would have benefited from actors and writers.
Yeah. Heroes would have been better if they had a general kind of plan for a full arc of it.
Yeah.
I think it was the thing that series they said, no, we can't. It's the thing that kind of Doctor Who does quite subtly, and that no, it always has to go back to normality. You can't have like, you wouldn't be able to have a open series 3 and it's the future and there's a fucking disease everywhere, and that can only be kind of flash forwards that will never happen. It always has to go back to regular life, and like in Doctor Who it's always like seemingly life goes on despite the fact everyone has seen aliens about 1,000 times, but you kind of have the subtle things like, oh, is it aliens again? Ooh, these damn aliens with bloody Torchwood. It's like, everyone knows, but like no one cares. It's very British.
And then and then you get the whole, like, how can we just keep going on with everyone knows about aliens? I know, Cracks in Time.
Yeah.
Cracks in Time, guys. That's
what?
Cracks in Time.
Oh, yeah.
Wait, that? Daleks? When did that happen?
Yeah, that's kind of resolved, and it's kind of quite well handled. But like in
the whole,
I mean, like another thing that kind of got like was weird with Heroes was just like they had so many flash forwards at different times. At different times when they were going for things, like they had the future where Peter was a badass that nobody was convinced.
I know.
Then in the future when Siler genuinely believed he was a Petrelli, and this is like so just because of the fact that's the flash forward you get, despite the fact he would have found out eventually he wasn't, and therefore it wouldn't have happened. Then later on, I can't even
Heroes time travel was incredibly inconsistent, and that really annoys me.
Yeah.
But the thing about Rory dying
that was a really intense segue, and Doctor Who, the Heroes.
We touched on this before.
Yeah.
Like, just, like, 5 seconds ago. The thing about Rory dying really, really annoys me.
Why?
Because people keep saying, Rory keeps dying. No, he doesn't. He died once.
But he's always alluded to dying. It's like...
But it's not really. It's like, Rory is often put in danger.
But no,
beyond the one time he died, the closest he came is in the Curse of the Black Spot.
Yeah. No.
Everything else is some sort of illusion or reality.
No, I know, but like it's always the fact that he's always alluded to dying a lot more than everyone else, because you get like he like dies and gets sucked into the crack, then
actual death.
Then there's the moment when Amy wakes up in the future and is reading the Pandorica stuff, when it says that you've got the couple of minutes when you think that Rory has like perished in World War II. That's alluding to him dying. Then in the start of series 6, there's the whole thing about Canton going about and he gets shot. That's everyone dying. He doesn't actually die, I know.
I don't think.
No, but it's everyone getting shot. But that's what I'm saying, it's alluding to him dying. Then there's Curse of the Black Spot, where he kind of like is doing that. Then there's, the illusion in The Doctor's Wife, where he's like fucking skin and bone. Not skin and bones, just bones. Mm-hmm. Then it comes full circle when it's in the kind of big dollhouse thing. It says, "Oh, we're dead, aren't we?" I mean, like he only actually dies the once, but it's alluded to like a running joke that people always kind of just assume the worst and he will die.
But it's like it's more the sort of people keep saying, "Oh, Rory just keeps dying," and that no, he doesn't. He's constantly put in. He's often put in danger.
We're always led into situations where we believe him to be dead rather than he actually dies.
I don't think anyone for a second believed that any of them were dead at the beginning of.
Well, fine, but it's obviously playing on it. That's what I'm saying. It's playing on the fact that you're thinking they're all getting shot.
I don't like people.
Even if you know that for a fact that Canton is not shooting these fuckers. Like you're still saying, you're still kind of like that thing of like, oh yeah, they're all getting shot. Therefore, for at least a second, there is the Schrodinger's thing of like, are they actually dead? You know they're fucking alive, but they could be. Yeah. And as I say, like that happens to Rory again and again and again. Not actual death, but like there's also the fucking thing in the Amy's Choice where he disintegrates. Another illusion.
Amy's Choice, I give people. It's not after this, but it's...
Sorry, I just love the fact that David, like, the Rory gatekeeper, he's like, I will give you that one,
I give them that one for one reason.
David is the high authority in the death of Rory. He graduated from the University of Glasgow with a Rory Death PhD.
Yeah,
to be honest, that'd be about as useful as a bachelor degree.
Yeah. What are you talking to me? Come on.
He just sits on the phone. The fucking Rory's face on it.
Okay,
dressed as a grim reaper. You died? No, you're not dead.
That was a possible ultimate reality. That reality could have been the real one.
Yeah.
You know, like, so that one, you go, okay, fair enough. But the rest of them is just like, no, it's not death. No, stop talking about that Tumblr. Fuck off.
Yeah. That's funny. But I've, there was that thing that was kind of apparently alluding to what happens next season.
Sorry, yeah, I just had a thought about another...
Did it hurt?
Okay, no.
I'm having a thought.
Do you know how it's the
headache with pictures.
The same, you know, the Doctor only has, like, one regeneration left.
No, that was, like...
That's what I'm saying. Like, it was just, like, part of the Sergian Adventures, I just said. It was just, like, one line, like, I don't know, I have unlimited regeneration left.
Timey-wimey.
There's a line in, the Sergian Adventures with a crown for a vent, and someone says, how many times can you regenerate? It says, like, 518.
Oh, right.
Or something. And it's like, but like, there's a whole thing of like, someone somewhere once in the backlog of Doctor Who once said, yeah, they only get 13 regenerations.
Yeah.
And then that suddenly became canon.
Yeah.
But there's a really, really simple way around this.
Is that not something about the Valiant, about like how the fact it was like that was like his 13th regeneration or something? Was the Valiant the kind of evil Doctor?
I'm not sure. I just know, because Stephen Moffat is basically, every time anyone asks me that, once! Someone said it once, and suddenly.
I love
it's
Stephen
a big
Moffat.
Thing. Yeah. Do you know how much things are said in Doctor Who?
I genuinely love Stephen Moffat, just reading about it. He's so vocal.
I mean, yeah. Stephen Moffat has problems. I mean, like,
What are you, Stephen Moffat? I'm breaking the patient confidentiality, but Stephen Moffat has problems.
No, there's problems with Stephen Moffat, but the one thing I do like about him is he just like not kind of he is very kind of vocal. He's a bullshitter in one way, but he will not kind of like Dan Trending. Uh-huh. He will be kind of very.
Honest,
kind of attacking of things. Yeah, he's very.
I can't believe
very
the definitive
honest.
Statement. Stephen Moffat has problems. No,
he has problems with Stephen Moffat.
Stephen Moffat is lactose intolerant, and he has. I don't know.
Is he?
I don't fucking.
We don't. That's a joke. But maybe. Here's the thing: like in the classic Who, the Master was given more regenerations by the Time Lords. So there's a really simple way around the whole 13 regenerations thing. That was a rule imposed by the Time Lords, not by their biology. It was just the Council of the Time Lords restricted people to this. So now that they're gone, the Doctor can regenerate as much as he wants.
I like the Master. The Master was good. But you know whenever you get a good villain like that, and then people say, oh, we want to see the return of the Master. I kind of like, why can't you just move on to another fantastic villain? You know what I mean?
That was Russell T. Davis' problem. Russell T. Davis could not get past the Dalek.
I'm fucking sick of those guys.
I mean, that's...
Exterminate. Right, we know what you're gonna do. Just, you know, fucking.
You're gonna exterminate.
Stop
that's the purpose.
Just.
But,
stop.
No, it's.
Behave yourself.
It was just the fact that it was like series one, like series one of the new series. It's like, you got the one Dalek episode. That was awesome.
Yeah.
And then it was like, oh no, the Daleks are actually
there's
still
so
a bit.
Okay,
there's so many Daleks. And then again, like Russell T. Davis had that Heroes. Problem where it was like he had really good build up and then he could not do an ending, especially the end of that with Bad Wolf. That was the worst fucking ending ever. And it was like I think it was like Big Dalek Fleet Emperor, wiped out.
Big Dalek Fleet Emperor.
Then it's, like, it's like no more Daleks. Season 2. Oh, it's actually the Cybermen this time.
Oh,
cool.
Yeah.
Oh no, it's still the fucking Daleks. Bigger Fleet. Yeah, dead. Series 3. What happened in Series 3 again?
Season 3 was,
that was
Daleks in Manhattan.
Oh yeah, yeah, that was
oh, yeah,
but that was kind of like, that was but the end of, the end of it was like the Master and everything, so that was okay. Then season 4, it was like, where can we go from here? We've already had two giant Dalek fleets, a giant Cybermen fleet, the fucking basic end of the world for a year. The end of the world a year. No, yeah, we're gonna get an even bigger Dalek fleet, we're gonna give you Davros and fucking everyone who's ever travelled in the TARDIS.
Pretty much.
And it was like, what the flipping fucking shit, cunt.
But then again, that's one of the things that I think the payoff may not have been great always, but Russell D. Davies had the sort of a great knack for the big spectacle of a finale.
No, he didn't.
All of the finales are big spectacle, the big grand adventures. Yeah. The payoff may not be great, but the big grand adventures.
The payoff, because then it's like, okay, that was really kind of pointless. And it's like, I think his Russell T. Davies' worst moment for me is not his actual worst moment, but it's like how I'll say Avatar's like one of the worst films ever, because it's not the fact it's actually one of the worst films ever, but it's everyone kind of like has it highly, mm-hmm. or like everyone thinks the worst moment was all because it was completely ruined what I thought was going to be my favourite episode of Doctor Whoever. It was the next Doctor. For the first, like, mm-hmm.
oh,
20 minutes...
That was David Morris era?
Yeah. For the first, like, 20 minutes, half an hour, when it was, like, focusing on the kind of, like, the whole fact that this is a guy who's, like, lost his wife, uh-huh. and he's been implanted.
Yeah, that was
and
great.
And it's all the kind of tension between, is this actually the next Doctor? Uh-huh. That was amazing.
Yes.
I was watching this going, this is amazing. And then you get the motherfucking Cyber King, which is just the worst
fucking Cyber King.
Which, I was watching going, like, you have seriously just ruined this episode. Could you not do anything that was just based... Uh-huh. on this, they, like, just deal with this evil woman, have someone like, I think things like the Weeping Angels, they prove that things are a lot scarier and a lot better when it is something that doesn't require you to make big CGI monsters out of things.
Yeah.
Like, you had that.
I think it was good, the God Complex, that was fantastic. That's
And then, like, there was the Van Gogh episode where, with the monster adventure, it was like a big CGI thing, but you couldn't see it. And it was mostly all about kind of not being able to see it.
Yeah.
And there was a lot of tension built on that.
That's why one of the scariest episodes, I think, in a way, of the whole show since it came back, and Russell T. Davies' shaming moment, in my opinion, as a rager,
Midnight.
As Midnight.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, it's
the one on the Downtown Midnight, and he's on the train.
Yeah.
And
Yeah.
And it's just all about.
I mean, yeah,
it's just a sort of submarine story of everyone becoming really.
Again, like that's thing, like, guys.
Yeah, that's what we're saying.
Yeah.
I thought he said shame. Like,
no,
he shamed them.
Shining moment.
Maybe shining moment.
Said shame. I'm like that.
But,
oh yeah, that was fantastic.
But I mean, that's building on just like a lot of character work,
mm-hmm.
and it's like you have to build in the character work. You don't see like.
Uh-huh.
Oh, like, going to this and then it's big reveal. It's another fucking Dalek, basically. But, like...
How disappointed should you be? Knock, open the door. Exterminate.
But, I mean, like...
Ah, mother!
I think...
Put a bag over their heads.
I think, while Series 5 pulled off from... I think Stephen Moffat is really good with, like, conceptual stuff. Like, he knows what is scary, mm-hmm. he knows what works, he knows, like, Are You My Mummy, and, like, the silence, this, I mean, like, they're based in really kind of, like, ingrained childhood
uh-huh.
fears, like, that, like, you've got, like, Are You My Mummy, which is just a child asking for his mummy and falling around, you've got the silence, which is literally, there's something hidden behind you,
uh-huh.
and you get the Weeping Angels, which is, statues will fucking kill your shit.
I love that Blink ends with just, like, a bunch of just like shots of statues around London,
that's
just to really fuck with kids.
Yeah. I would
just fuck with kids, man. Fuck with me. Obviously, in London.
You're a kid, though.
That's true.
But like, he's good with conceptual stuff. I really wish he would like do a couple of mini series, because I think if he wants to do like the kind of timey-wimey stuff,
mm-hmm.
like he was attempting in Series 6 with all the Doctor death
timey-wimey.
Stuff,
mm-hmm.
That deserves just a kind of blasting through, because you want to keep the momentum of that. Torchwood did it with Children of Earth, and it just blasted through.
Yeah.
There wasn't anything they had to say like, right, we've got a full season, do you want to focus on this really interesting thing, or do you want some fucking pirates?
Mm.
It says, no, we'd really like to focus
mm-hmm.
on this really interesting, oh, fuck you, Moffat.
That was the problem with Miracle Day.
Mm-hmm.
Miracle Day tried to do the same thing as Children of Earth, but with twice as long. Like, literally, you watch the entire season of Miracle Day and you sort of think, that could have totally entirely in 5 episodes.
Yeah, I mean, like, the first couple of episodes of Miracle Day were brilliant,
mm-hmm.
and then it was like, okay, they're dragging this on.
That woman,
there's some
it?
Weird stuff.
The back head.
There's
woman.
Other weird stuff, and this
yeah.
is now shit.
Also,
and
it doesn't make sense, frankly.
Yeah.
Because the explanation for Jack is that he's a fixed point in space and time.
Yeah.
So his blood wouldn't have been special, for one thing. And reversing the polarity of life or whatever the fuck, actually, there's an explanation for what happened.
But again,
wouldn't have affected him either, because he's a fixed point in space and time.
It's a thing, like, it's suiting, it's... It's just bad writing. It's like, you've got this situation, it's in... How can... It's rather than building a story on what you know, it's like taking what you know and trying to build a story based around it and saying, and like adding things that are convenient. So like you can do it well. Like that's Breaking Bad does it really well. And like the like couple of things with the flashbacks. I know like the I was yeah. like rewatching Breaking Bad. I've just got to the episode
what's
where it's like. Three. Don't worry. I'm like. I'm not going to say anything that will kind of like ruin it. But
apart
like,
from just watch it.
Yeah. There's the episode like where it turns out like Combo got the RV for him, and said that's a flashback. That's a kind of typical. Hey guys, this makes everything relevant. Sure, come in here. This will make everything relevant. This happened also, but like it makes sense and it doesn't like it doesn't add any plot holes earlier.
The thing I really love about Breaking Bad is how slow it starts and and how sort of teasing it as of what I think season two with the whole the teaser of what's going to happen at the end of it.
Yeah,
it just builds up so much tension. Even season three, it wasn't the fact that it was teasing ahead to the future. It was just slow pace. You think, you know, this isn't going to maintain. Some shit's going to go down, and when it did, it just exploded.
I think that's thing watching series two is quite strange because like I think series two and odd. Like apart from the kind of build up to the plane crash at the end, I had a weird format of what actually happened because like series one was meant to be longer, but there was a writer's strike and everything.
Oh right, was it?
It was meant to be.
It was a lot weird that it was like 7 episodes.
Yeah, it was meant to be like 9 or 10 episodes. Okay. So I think I think all this stuff with Tuco was meant to happen all in the first season.
That was
stuck in the end of on the start of series two. And then, like, where series 3 and 4 do that thing, like, starting off really slow, and then you get the halfway point, and bam, it's just
Sitting
all the way through.
Season
2 is weird, where it started off with that, then sagged a bit in the middle, and then once you meet Saul and Gus at the end of series 2,
Bob Odenkirk is brilliant. He's from a comedy background.
Yeah.
And that was really good. I'm not saying that, oh my goodness, he can act. It's just one of those kind of pleasant surprises. Like, wow, that's fucking great.
Comedy actors are usually better dramatic actors than other people.
I was listening to the...
Because comedy's harder.
If you've listened to the podcast of Michael Emerson, the Nerdist podcast...
Not yet.
That guy is so knowledgeable. And like, he says some shit, you're like, oh my God, that's amazing. He's just fantastic. Breaking Bad is just... It's one of those shows that you genuinely can't predict what's going to happen next.
Oh yeah, I mean like it's...
like at all. Like I'm thinking specifically season 3, episode 12. That blew the shit out of my pants, man. I mean, I swear to God, my mind, I curled up in a ball.
I mean, I think one of the
games... I can't believe I just said it blew the shit out of my fans. I don't even know what that means.
We're just going to blow past it. But then,
okay. I think one of the themes of Breaking Bad is the fact there's like the kind of there's normality, there's the kind of like legal way to do things, which is the hard way, and then it's discovering that there's a really easy way to do it if you're like you kind of like. Have looser morals. Like, there's like the whole thing, obviously, like, the initial bit of, like, oh, he's kind of struggling with this, with cancer, but he can cook meth and make money.
Yeah.
And then it's like, he can just kill. He can kill someone to get rid of them, and that'll make stuff a bit simpler.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
When he, like, when Jane chokes up.
Oh
God.
Yeah.
No, man.
And that is one of the most tense things ever.
It's like
the last 10 minutes of Phoenix. Was when I was like sitting going that was a flip point from this is a really good series to this is one of the best fucking things ever.
Yeah, that's true.
Like, if you're watching it again, say time. I mean, I must apologise to you. I can't remember whether this was series 3 or 4, but it doesn't add a like that isn't doesn't
like, really spoil it.
It doesn't spoil anything. But there's a bit in Phoenix, like the bit in Phoenix when they first watch it that's really affecting is when he's in the bar with Jane's dad,
and then
at the end when he's like watching Jane choke up and does nothing. There's a scene right before that when he's listening to Skylar and Holly on the baby monitor.
Oh yeah, that's it.
And then there's the thing later on. He says, season three, he says, then. That would have been the perfect time to die.
That's
and so watching that the second time round, it's not...
That was a great episode. Yeah. The one with just him and Jesse. Who Aaron Paul is fantastic. Yeah. I really like
him. As I said, like, he's like... They were thinking of killing Jesse off in the first season. But like this, but I mean, like, it has come to that, because if they didn't have Jesse, it would just be Walt slowly like becoming more and more evil without anything to rein him back in. Without any, and like Jesse does become the moral centre, because even though like he like he's like chooses this lifestyle, he does see like he's the bad guy.
He is
a good person
and
just want to do that. Where like as I said, Walt learns more and more that he can like gain a lot more by just disregarding.
Walt's quite selfish.
Jesse's a good person in a bad situation. Walt is slowly realizing that he's not a good person.
That's the thing. It's like season one, like, okay, he's with his family, season two, he's still, and then by this point in season four, I think he's just bad.
Wait till the end of season four.
I mean, he's just a villain who you still love. You can understand his choices. I'm thinking, I can see his point of view. Thinking, what kind of person am I?
The one thing that Vince Gilligan always said was he was wanting to make it from Mr. Chips to Scarface. I think he's gone that way, because you're saying like where you are in series four, he's a bad guy, but you still love him. If you love him by the end of series four, you're doing something wrong.
Really?
Yeah. You're fucking sinister if you love him by the end of the season.
I absolutely love Bryan Cranston.
I can love Bryan Cranston, but like, you love Tom Hiddleston as Loki in Avengers, but he's still a fucking bad guy.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. But like...
he's the bad guy.
We'll get some Godfather discussion to have. Do you watch Friends, do you?
No.
Just touch me from this. Great news. But season 5 renewal final season, I would recommend you watch it if you like, you know, science fiction stuff.
What?
Yeah.
I thought you said Friends. I was going
to no French.
Yeah,
I love it.
I thought you were going to say Friends is coming back. I was going, oh, sad.
I really, really like the show, but the end of this season was incredibly letdown.
I don't know.
It was because
It's not been as good as the past season.
No, it was.
But
it was a letdown, because they went forward. They did the thing where they went forward in time.
Oh, well,
I don't care. Just go.
No, you should watch it, man.
That's not a spoiler.
So I said I'm gonna watch Game of Thrones. I know everything that happened in Game of Thrones.
They had the episode where they went forward in time.
Letters of Transit.
And you saw all these characters still alive, perfectly well. So you go into the finale knowing nothing can happen here.
You don't see everyone. There's a specific character when Walter does a certain act in the finale, you think, holy shit. I mean, I know you're thinking, okay, it's like, you know, she won the main character, but it's
let's cut all this bullshit out.
You don't see
Olivia in the flash forward.
Yes, I'm saying that.
But when...
That was another actual flash forward.
It was, actually. You don't see Olivia in the flash forward episode, but when Walter shoots her, you know she's fine. You do, because in the flash forward you see her and Peter's fucking daughter.
You do know she's fine.
You know she's fine. She has to be alive for at least another 9 months.
Still,
then again, they may be doing flash forwards in a huge.
Is
flash forwards only relevant to that particular?
They had a whole episode in the future.
They're going to build towards the end of the fifth season.
But it's the prequel syndrome.
Yeah.
You see what's coming, so you don't. So what happens between now and then has to be extra good, because you know what's coming.
Is Fringe not the thing with the kind of two alternate realities?
It sort of builds up so much, like in season one, you don't know. It's like, is it what's happening? It's this big mystery. And then there's like, my brother walked in, like, you need to watch Fringe, I'm not going to tell you, but he walked in, it's like the previously, and within 3 seconds, just spoiled like a whole season and a half of mystery, and I'm like, fuck.
But the thing about the rewrote the timeline and stuff, this doesn't sound good. This sounds like Lost good.
And that's not good.
No, it's a good watch it, man. The first three seasons are excellent.
The first season's enjoyable, but it's like
season two is like there's one of the best runs of episodes I've ever seen. Like it's like from Jacksonville right through to the end is just blew my mind away. But the thing about season four finale, it's okay, you know, you think, oh, well,
it's a cop out.
But the moment when Water turns round and shoots Olivia in the head, it still is like,
I know it's not, I know it's not, but I want to believe you're talking about Water, like, that's what I'm just going to say.
Okay, go
for it. That's what I'm visualising in my head now. This is what's going to happen in Series 5 of Breaking Bad.
How much you're like, oh,
Series 5 of Breaking Bad is going to be a Breaking Bad and Fringe crossover.
That'd be fucking amazing. Pitch that.
To be honest, they've already filmed most of it, so I think
that's why the Fringe season finale, season 5, is on 13 episodes. It's on AMC.
It's on AMC. For me anyway, I was like, I didn't see that coming. Like, it's still, even though you're thinking, holy shit.
I saw it coming.
It was brilliant. I thought he was going to shoot Belle.
We're in this situation where the only thing they can. Where Olivia is powering what's happening. I know, but it's too much to actually properly explain what's happening. Olivia is the reason that everything is going to shit.
Yeah.
Her life, the fact that she's alive, is powering everything that's going on. Walter's standing there with a gun in his hand. Shooting William would have done nothing. The only thing he could possibly do to stop it is kill Olivia.
I like just be in the moment. I don't like to think, what's he going to... I don't try and predict what's going to happen.
You don't have to predict it. You don't have to predict it. You can see it coming. As soon as William says that it's all Olivia, and Walter realizes it's all Olivia, and he's got a fucking gun in his hand. There's only one outcome. He shoots him in the face.
I kind of feed off the performance of the actors as well. Joshua Jackson's performance in that scene was
that is
was
true.
Incredible.
They were all really good, but it's like when you can see what's coming.
I just do surrender in the moment kind of thing, try and forget what's going to pass, and just completely live in the moment of the scene of the TV show. And then, you know, I'm not thinking what's going to come next. I'm thinking, oh, this isn't ringing good. It's not, you know, especially when Walter says a certain thing and there's a transit about what Belle did to Olivia. Thinking, oh my god, what's going to happen? And then, you know, you see something bad coming, but it's still that moment, like, no matter if you see it coming or not, the moment Walter turns around and does it, you think, holy fuck. It's just, for me, it was, anyway. For a lot of people, it was.
I saw it coming, I knew that she was going to be fine.
Okay, you saw it coming, you didn't get the same effect as me, but that doesn't mean I'm wrong. A lot of people had the same experience that was like, shit, it was just shocking.
I feel like I should spoil Breaking Bad now.
No, don't do that. She has watched it. Right, okay.
But, okay, The Godfather.
Sorry. I watched, I think it was December in January.
Yeah, I mean, like, that's the thing. You think The Godfather's the best trilogy?
I know, that's a bit of a loaded question. I don't personally think it's a great trilogy. I'm just like a lot of people say, oh, it's weird.
I said, like it depends on how you define trilogy. Cause technically, you could say that Lord of the Rings is a trilogy, but people always say it's just the one story, three films, technically not a trilogy. Compared to a trilogy being... like three films all with the same characters and that, but like three definably different narratives.
Yeah.
And like I have to take the Mark Kermode line that's saying that Toy Story is the only one that's like the consistent is excellent, and like the quality is consistently excellent all the way through. None of the Toy Story films are as good as like The Godfather or like the first Back to the Future, I wouldn't say, but like Godfather 1 is one of the best films ever. Godfather 2, I'd say, is like. The Vito Corleone stuff is brilliant, but like the Michael Corleone stuff in the kind of the more modern day just drags on far too long.
I need to watch it again and see if I actually agree with you.
Because it just drags on, and there's like I was watching the DVD and it's like you know like 2-disc DVD for Godfather 2, and like it gets to the end of all the Cuba stuff, and it says please insert disc 2, and like.
Oh yeah, that's about a pain.
And like it takes far too long to say that Vito Corleone's business brought family together. Michael's tore it apart. That's the message of Godfather 2, and it went on far too long, and I would have much rather have a kind of like proper 50-50 split between Vito and Michael, but we didn't get that. And as for Godfather 3, I actually saw it for the first time like recently, and it's just not good at all. And like for other like trilogies, like you say, Back to the Future 1 and 2 were fantastic. Back to the Future 3
2? No, two I a little bit.
No,
Back to the Future,
you're wrong. Back to the Future 2.
It's a bad film, but 2 is just there's some.
I actually prefer Back to the Future 2 to the first one because it does the thing of it dwells in the first one, so it's kind of tied in, but it kind of expands it enough. It like goes to the future as well as coming back, and it's really clever in how it kind of overlaps it.
Yeah,
I really like to. like Back to the Future 3 is obviously taken in a different direction, and there are it's a good film, mm-hmm. but it's not great. It does get a bit timey-wimey and weird, and like the kind of Western setting does kind of drag on a bit, and like I don't really care for Clara, etc., etc.
Can we call that episode the timey-wimey episode?
Yeah.
Isn't Toy Story like technically the most successful trilogy of all time?
Probably, yeah.
As a trilogy, it's made the most money.
Until the bloated shit that is Avatar becomes a trilogy, trilogy.
Hold on, we've got the Dark Knight. The Batman trilogy.
I mean, yeah, if he gets the Dark Knight Rises right, then I'll say that's probably out there as well. But like I said, Back to the Future, three films. Only the first two are kind of absolutely fantastic. Star Wars, Return of the Jedi is fairly pish.
The thing with the trilogy is, I can kind of see the merits of the third one. In terms of Michael Corleone,
I think the problem was
in terms of his character.
It may have been an alright story, but it was badly executed. And did you see the thing in Cracked of what it should have been?
No.
The Godfather 3 was originally Michael Corleone against Tom Hagen, and just a fucking
that would have been really good.
But Robert Duvall was not happy with being paid significantly less than Al Pacino.
I did not like Andy Garcia's character in that film one bit.
They
want to do a fourth one with him, and I'm thinking,
no,
fuck off, man. It's just annoying. Like I said,
Godfather 3 originally wasn't going to be called Godfather 3. Coppola wanted to, I think it must have been Coppola because I can't remember who else involved. He wanted to call it The Death of Michael Corleone and have it as a kind of war between Michael Corleone and Tom Hagen. That would have been amazing. But then says, no, you can't do that. And the studio said, no, you've got to call it Godfather 3. Jesus.
I really like the Godfather 1. The Godfather 2, I can agree with you. I think it does drag on a little bit. It's still a fantastic film, but it's a long. Fucking long movie.
I've got no problem with long films. I cannot watch the theatrical versions of Lord of the Rings. I must watch the extended editions. I'll happily watch 4 hours of Return of the King. I'd watch that every day. I would not get tired of it. But it's actually a compelling story compared to just.
I think they should have just done. It'd be interesting to see. They've just done a sort of standalone.
What I really want to kind of check out is the Godfather series
books.
No. I think it was in the second half of the 70s, they re-edited Godfather 1 and 2 into a chronological, six-part series.
That'd be interesting.
Which would have been good. Because then you would have got all the Vito stuff. But, I mean, obviously the kind of thematic thing may not have come across. As I said, the last few episodes would have fucking sucked because it's only Michael Corleone. But
the scene in the restaurant in Godfather 1 is the first Godfather is one of the most sort of tense sort of heart thumping scenes I've sat through. In terms of the Godfather 3, it's not a good film. It's not a good Godfather film. But the whole Michael Corleone thing, if you take it in the first one, he's going into this world, he's been sucked into this world of gangsters and murder and this, that and this thing, and then in the second one he's fully kind of embracing that, then the third one he's trying to get back out of it, but he's getting sucked in. I think that arc, Godfather 3, the Godfather trilogy, in terms of Michael Corleone's arc, is fantastic.
The arc is good, the arc is good. You can have films with good arcs, but if it's not executed properly, as I said, the Heroes could have a good arc, but it was badly written and it was a mess. And other films or series can do that, but if you don't execute it properly, if you're basically wanting to kind of rely on just the fact you want to see this kind of happen without any kind of authenticity or whatever, it's bollocks.
What are people saying on Facebook? Could you ask people? Might as well address that fact.
Might as well address the fact that Chris knows people that thinks American Pie and The Matrix are good trilogies.
I asked a question on Facebook. It was a bit of a loaded question. Is Godfather the greatest trilogy of all time? It's part of a bit of a debate. I don't personally think it is.
No.
I can see its validity as a trilogy, as I said. Chris Donald saved the original Star Wars trilogy.
Correct.
Nope. So that's 4, 5, 6. That's
correct.
I'd kind of agree with that. It's a fantastic trilogy.
No.
It's
not. It's really not.
Agreed with the Godfather. Yeah, Martin, you've had your time. Shut the fuck up.
No. Mainly because we've already discussed this on the last podcast you're on. At length.
But yeah, Return of the Jedi is kind of half pish.
Did it? Steven O'Connor said American Pie not the greatest trilogy, but hey.
No, wrong.
Yeah,
no,
it's
wrong.
Just, it's wrong.
Hold on, guys. Stop.
It's not even a good trilogy.
No, I'm sorry. What's your name?
What's your name?
Steven O'Connor? No. Steven O'Connor, you're wrong.
Wait a minute. You can disagree with people, but you can't tell them that they're wrong.
No, we
can't.
Here's two reasons why he's factually wrong. It's not a trilogy.
1, 2, and 3. Oh, fucking hell.
There's a fourth one being released, and there's about 15 straight-to-DVDs.
Yeah,
it's a franchise, it's not a trilogy.
It's
not even remotely anywhere near the greatest trilogy of all time.
Listen.
Yeah. Because, American Pie 1 was good, it's enjoyable, it's really dated now.
Mm-hmm.
American Pie 2 was a retread, I'm, lost a bit.
Enjoyable, because you're into the beach house and stuff.
Yeah. American Pie 3 was totally gash.
We'll do an American Pie episode.
No, we won't.
Okay. No, we won't.
Oh, will we not, Martin?
No.
Will we not?
No, we won't not.
Okay, David.
I was just echoing what I knew he would say.
We can get in a debate of, criticising a lot of people's decisions. If he enjoys the trilogy, he's definitely entitled to enjoy the trilogy.
But he's still
don't
wrong.
Diss him.
He's wrong. Stephen O'Connor, you're wrong.
In your opinion, he's wrong. I think the film's also good.
I get everyone's opinion is wrong apart from you.
It's not a trilogy.
We had a response from Tune Dinner Played, which is, a venue...
No. They spelled Tune Chonz. Their opinion is meaningless. Look at the way they spell Tunes. They're meaningless. Meaningless opinion.
He,
I refuse
to acknowledge. Good enough
nope.
to respond
nope.
to the podcast question. He really disagreed with the Godfather trilogy. He said the IMHO Akira Kurosawa's samurai trilogy.
Did you say
IMHO?
Did you say in my opinion?
Oh,
in my humble opinion. In my honest opinion.
I thought that was a fucking movie. The samurai trilogy. Just because it's commons and it's a lot of different ones. I'm
oh, Chris.
I need to check the IMHO movie out. What's this?
Every time you think you've gone somewhere, you always kind of bring it back and surprise us with something like that.
It was the way I was reading it. It was he's listed different films and commons.
That's the attacking the Timey Wimey episode. The episode in which Chris thinks IMHO isn't it.
Yeah. The Seven Samurai.
Starring Ben Affleck as Mr. HO.
He reckons the Samurai.
Sorry about internet.
Samurai.
I mean, Mr. HO.
He reckons Akira Kurosawa's Samurai trilogy is one of the most influential trilogies. I've not seen that, I'll need to check it out.
Again, there's that in the Colors trilogy that I think Callum mentions that is they are of repute. But
it's quite funny. I'm trying to read it off, and then you jumped at it to somebody else.
It's called having a good memory.
Yeah.
Fuck
you and your memory. No, go. No, I mean, what are you saying?
Those are kind of trilogies of repute. I mean, you could say the Dolores trilogy as well.
Trilogy.
Yeah, this is the Colors trilogy. It's French.
It's
come on.
Okay.
There's the Sergio Leone Dollars trilogy. I think The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly is a prequel, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah.
There's.
The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly. It's the last one, but it's chronologically first.
Yeah. Even if you try to forget Crystal Skull, Indiana Jones doesn't qualify either because Temple of Doom is full of crap. But.
Okay. I just want to run through some of the trilogies that people think.
Someone said The Matrix and they're also wrong.
Yeah. Anyone said Matrix or just wrong.
I want to read off these people who think that are good enough to respond to the question. And Lee Dunkey disagrees with The Godfather being not a good trilogy at all. The third video let it down. Okay. The original Star Wars trilogy, Back to the Future. Is it the original Indiana Jones trilogy, which I just assume is the first three films, obviously.
Mm-hmm. It becomes not a trilogy when there's a
Temple of Doom. Yeah, I would say I didn't like Temple of
Doom.
Yeah.
The only reason that Star Wars still counts as two separate trilogies is because
they got two separate.
It can count as two separate chunks of three films.
Yeah.
But Indiana Jones can't count as a trilogy, and then this fourth film. Same with American Pie. Can't count as a trilogy, and then there's another new one.
What would you consider when The Hobbit comes out? Because then it'll be five films. Would you consider that all one franchise, or you could still have Lord of the Rings separate?
No, that's Lord of the Rings and The Hobbit.
Cool.
Erin said Lord of the Rings, greatest trilogy, which I
did she not see, like, she's not seen it though, but
she's never seen The Godfather. But she's gonna go with Lord of the Rings.
Yeah, the way she's written that comic does seem like, never seen it, but I'm gonna see Lord of the Rings. Yeah. I've not seen it, but I'm just gonna see it anyway.
I can't say for sure. Robert Gallagher reckons the Ozu's Noriko trilogy, Arnie Lord, he's like Lord of the Rings and Toy Story. I think he kind of agrees partially with the third film. Oh, he doesn't mind the third film. He likes it. Ewan Fletcher hasn't really watched The Godfather without falling asleep. He'd probably go with Lord of the Rings and the Sergio Leone's Dollar Charge, which you mentioned a couple of hours ago. And then somebody says The Matrix. Toy Story. I've not seen The Matrix, but I would.
I think of The Matrix.
Have you not even seen the first Matrix?
I've not seen it yet.
Why am I surprised?
The first Matrix is fantastic.
Let's do a round table to round this off.
The first Matrix is fantastic, and then the other two just shit all over the good name that The Matrix is built up.
The Matrix 2 and 3 are the heroes of sequels.
Who directed that? Is it John Woo?
Basically.
No, it was the Wachowskis.
Yeah.
That's it. Okay. I personally think Toy Story 3 is probably the best trilogy, although...
Toy Story 3 is the best trilogy. But again, as I said, that's what I would say is the best trilogy, big on the core line, but it then depends on whether you like animation. Because I know if Rhiannon was here, she'd be fucking shouting us all down about Toy Story.
She'd be wrong.
She's heartless and she doesn't like animation.
She'd be wrong.
We should do an animation episode and invite Rhiannon on.
We'll do that.
That'd be funny.
We'll do that. I think Toy Story or Back to the Future, for me, I'm not going to say Jurassic Park's a perfect trilogy because the third one isn't as good, but I love that trilogy. Martin, favourite trilogy, just pick one.
Toy Story.
The best is probably Toy Story. My favourite is the original Star Wars.
Okay, right. Excellent. So
I don't care what problems there are with Return of the Jedi. It's still just I love to watch all three of them.
It's
my personal favorite, but Toy Story is still probably better.
We almost ended really nicely.
I think the thing with Return of the Jedi is, as you were saying, it has a good arc, but if it had focused on the arc of Luke Skywalker and just on that,
it would have been fine.
But he gave too much time to fucking Ewoks.
Okay. On that,
what's your favourite trilogy?
I'm gonna go Toy Story, actually.
Yes. So it's kind of vaguely we're all in Toy Story corner at least a little bit.
I'll go Back to the Future is also fantastic. Thank you for listening. This was a good episode, I think. Maybe. I enjoyed it.
You stopped playing.
Yeah, we do a little postmortem. Thanks for listening, and until next time, goodbye.